because the Lord is completely outside of time, he's above time. He hears the voices of those who are yet to come.
Amen.
As well as those that are already in his presence. Plus the angels and all those strange beings around the throne. Aren't you? That we're not alone. Not just the Lord, but we're the Lord's people are fast.
Hallelujah.
Good. Well, with that in mind, we're the rich young ruler again. And Tony, are you going to leave from behind there and come up here, or are you going to do it from there?
So that everyone can see the words, I'm going to do it from here. So
okay.
Here you go. So the reading for today is from Mark chapter 10. And here it is. So, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier to say for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God, the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Tony. I've got to try this visor again, just to say that you must remind me when we do communion to put my mask on. I hope this will be good. Good. There we are. Well, last time I preached quite subjectively on the rich young ruler. He said how it's the same to those of us that don't come from a rich, privileged background, really. Or so you might think. But this isn't a parable. This is a real life story. This is just a bit more grammar as fast as well. It's recorded in three gospels. It's not just in one gospel. Three times it's recorded, more than word to word as well. This guy appears in front of Jesus. So it's we're going to unpack a life story, if you like. Well, what do we learn from this scripture? Well, first of all, he's keen and he's eager, isn't he? He comes running and kneels. You know, so he's fit and keen. I've not read a run at the minute, but I've had an injection in my knee this week, which is better than it was. I certainly couldn't run without it. But he's keen, he runs. You know, he's heard Jesus is there, he comes running to him, and he kneels. Unlike the Pharisees, who wouldn't dream of kneeling in front of Jesus. He's religious, like they are, but he's not like them. Quite interesting. They actually despise there's an urgency and an anxiety in this young man about his spiritual destiny. Good teacher, he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's an earnest, important question for a young guy to answer. Not only young guys, he's rich and he's young, he's interested in lots of other things other than his eternal destiny. But actually, he's been, I suggest, by the Spirit of God, puts that thought in the minds of every human being. You know, what must I do? What's it all about? What's life about? Is this it? What must I do to inherit what you're talking about? Good teacher. This man, he's keen and he's eager. He's religious, as I've just said, but he's quite ignorant of his true spiritual state. He's really ignorant of his spiritual state. But so the first thing that we note is that Jesus makes a correction to him. In fact, he does correct him. But we need to understand, it's very simple for us to understand, as Jesus picks it up in the scripture, that actually to use the word good teacher was inappropriate, because in Jewish language the designation good was only reserved for God. God is good in all his ways. Yahweh God, the God of the Jews, the God who called people to himself, is designated good. In the same way that they would not use his name Yahweh God in putting Lord, the word good wouldn't be used of God. Would be used only of God. So Jesus, he's not scared to rebuke this guy in verse 18, is he? Gently rebukes him and reminds him that actually no one is good except God alone. And that's really good. When you think about the world we inhabit, you know, look here and you look there, and you think, is there any goodness sometimes? You know, is there any, and actually all goodness emanates out from God. And all the good that is reflected in the world, I'd suggest to you, finds its root and its origin in the very nature of God. God is good. And his love endures, as we said earlier, to every generation. It was a sound, a reverberation of the people of God. God is good. So Jesus rebukes him that he's good in all his dealings with his creation. He reminds him of that. And let's remind ourselves today, however we feel today, God's dealings with you and I are always good. He doesn't change, he doesn't get bitter and twisted or whatever, there's wrong motives behind what he does with us. All his dealings with us are good. Now what you want to know though here is that Jesus isn't saying, I'm not good. And he's not actually saying, I'm not God. He's just saying to a person who doesn't see who Jesus really is, who is God with us, God in the flesh, the Son of God amongst us, that, and he hasn't understood that, it's just that he's a teacher, that it's quite inappropriate, and that was a very guarded secret of Jesus as to who he was. So he rebukes him, but he doesn't say, I am not God. And he's not saying I'm not good. Because here we see that we can see in hindsight that actually God's goodness is seen in the person of Jesus. And God's goodness is seen in the person of how Jesus deals with this man. God's goodness is revealed in the person of his Son. So anyway, God in person, the image of the invisible God, Jesus, is there talking to this rich young guy. And I've got all the things I think about the rich and things off my mind last week, so you don't need to worry that I'm not going there again this week.
So the second one I want to raise with you, he points out that about the goodness of God. The second thing that we want to focus on in just a minute or two is that Jesus now answers the man's question. He asked him, have you kept the law? Well, the six laws he's dealing with here, six laws that you've probably seen in Exodus 20, 12 to 16. Six laws. We'll do a checklist for you, if you like, as well. So he says to him, have you murdered anybody? No. Okay. Man, have you committed adultery? No. Tick okay. What about stealing or false testimony? Saying things that aren't true against other people, or fraud? Particularly as he's rich and he's young, and he defrauded anybody? No. Good. Okay. Tick. And what about honouring your father and mother? We don't like that one in the West so much today, do we really? But what about that? He said, no. Check. Tick. Okay. In fact, he says, teacher, in verse 20, all these I've done since I was a boy. Okay, well, it's looking quite good for him. You know, he's just the sort of guy who was like, did you tick all those up? I'm sure you did. If you haven't, God forgives any one of them, but he just checks, have you kept all these rules? All these laws that God gave us, gave to Moses? Yes. So as I say, it's looking good for him. Just the sort of person that should apply to become a member of any decent church. Don't you think? Getting easily. We want more people like this young guy. He ticked all the boxes. He's a perfect example. Well, maybe not. But anyway, we'll come on to that maybe at another stage. And the most interesting verse after he answers that, Jesus looked at him. And the most wonderful verse, which I picked up last time, Jesus looked at him in verse 21 and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Because that's true, you see, that the Lord looked at everything of you and loved him. Was fearful, was wonderful man, was God's handiwork. And he sees me in something that's wonderful, really, and admirable. The young man says faithfully to the letter of the law, his external behaviour is acceptable. A star. Really appropriate, whatever a star is on top of an A, but I never got any of those at school, so there we are. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. This young man has had been faithful to the letter of the law. His external behaviour was first class. But the trouble was, this man was not aware of his inward soul. He was not aware of his inner heart. He appears okay. But let's understand, always, God makes it clear through the scripture that salvation is not earned by following a set of rules. If I do all these, I will inherit eternal life. If I keep all the commandments, and the Pharisees had 633, didn't they? 633, that's something like that. 13, thank you. Was near enough, you know. They probably added a few extra ones on it for the benefit of it. But salvation is not because I keep the rules. Actually, salvation is needed because I have broken the rules. And therefore, it has to be a gift of God's grace. I cannot earn my salvation. And that is the danger that I believe this young man, and not just him. I was reading a commentary that was written 150 years ago, I think it was, on this very subject, and the man said very sadly, he said, so many people go to church thinking, they just sail on thinking, I'm okay, I'm not that bad, I'm not that bad, I keep all the rules, I don't kill, I don't steal, I don't know, I don't commit adultery, it's all okay. But a bit like this man
by living a moral life. I became a Christian by recognizing the life I led was contrary to God. Because I didn't love him with all my heart. I didn't make him number one. He was somewhere there. I went to church, but he didn't make me a Christian. And this man said, sadly, there are multitudes then, and I've seen through 30 odd years of ministry, there are still multitudes that will attend church in various places. We were talking about a few minutes ago, I went on a mission to the deep south many years ago to do an evangelistic mission. And you bang on people's doors, yes, I'm born again, but they weren't. They had a formula. I don't murder, I don't kill, I don't do this, I don't do that, and I go to church. Equals I'm saved. Wrong. Wrong. And you know, it still inhabits people's understanding what Christianity is, doesn't it? It still inhabits our minds thinking it says, actually, I'm not that bad. So it'll be all right in the end. But it isn't. I've always been to church, yeah. But as an old African-American Pentecostal priest I heard on an audio tape, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? And you see, this young man had so much going on that he actually wanted to know what comes running to Jesus. He was rich in a form of religion, of self-righteousness. And you see, each and every human being, and everybody who hears my voice here as well, and in all the churches, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal our true self. It's the Spirit of God that works on us to reveal what I'm really like. And it's okay, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict about sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what he does. And he does it by pointing us to Jesus. Well, in the same way, that is what Jesus is doing to this rich young guy. The Holy Spirit is another one like Jesus, another one of divine nature. Jesus is gently pointing out to this young man what his true state is. And it appears that Jesus is appearing to be a little bit hard with this man, isn't it? But I'm going to come on to that in a moment. See, our God is good and loving, and he desires that none should perish. We love that part of his nature. We love that God is good, that God is loving part of his nature. But, as we've sung this morning, with our first song that we learned, he's also holy. And he's also a jealous God, not jealous in the wrong way. But he's holy. And his love and his holiness that we see in Jesus will let this rich man go. Still not. Has Jesus failed? No. So, God offers us salvation, and it's something we need to receive from him. And all my good deeds, the Bible says, are like filthy rags, mental clots, used mental clots. What they are. God dislikes immensely my self-righteousness, but he loves it when people will respond to his offer of salvation. So I'm going to stop there. It's important that we actually understand this stuff sometimes. Let's just sing that song, just the one, if we can again, and we'll get into our being, because so often we sing a song about God loves me, but it's important that we also sing the fact that God is holy, he's separate, it means. He's awesome. He's beyond all human understanding. And yet you know it. Unbelievable. Okay, let's stand. That's why I collect my thoughts and you collect yours, and we'll sing. And then I'll carry on for a few more minutes.
And if we as Pentecostal charismatic type people have often, over recent years, have persuaded ourselves if we preach for an hour and a half, it's more anointed than if we preach for 20 minutes or half an hour. And I've fallen into that trap, and I haven't done this for you for quite a while, but Uncle quite easily preached for an hour. But you won't remember most of it. I've taken to doing this half-time thing. We could have adverts up, I suppose, you know, if you did chance to get your breath, but we thought we'd play that song as well, which is what we were doing on Zoom. Hopefully get yourself to make a cup of coffee, but we won't be doing that. Let me change back to my other apparatus. So the third thing I want to say to you, outwardly, this man seemed fine. He's eager and he's well-intentioned, which is so true for so many that might attend churches across the world at times. Well-intentioned. And he's certainly very eager. He's come running and he's kneeling and he's asking the right questions. But his main problem is, and this is the problem that's here, that Jesus confronts with this demand, which he doesn't demand everybody to sell your riches and give them to the poor. But this is what he says to this man. Because his main problem is he has another god. Small g. Another idol that he worships in his life. There are idols which claim, an idol or god claim our affections. An idol or God claim our affections, our time, our respect, even our giving. They take up inordinate amounts of time, often. But this, he has an idol. Who are idols of pride, self-righteousness, idols of I do good, good works, interests. There are idols of lust and of greed. And the last one that I've just mentioned are other idols as well. This man, this rich young man, his idol is his possessions, his riches. Verse 22 tells me, he's fine, tells me he had great wealth. I said to you, I thought I might become a millionaire in my business world, in my oldest dreams, you know, in my early 20s. And I could just be quite compatible. I'm still praying for that, because God's chosen not to make that happen for me. But that's fine. It's not having the riches, but where do they lie in your affections? Where do they lie in your security? And equally, it's true for those of us, which I'll talk about next time, for those of us that don't have. Because that can become an idol too. I don't have. So I'm very shrewd and very meagre. I don't have a spirit of generosity, often. You know, I'll buy the cheapest biscuits at the supermarket, but actually, if God says you could have chocolate biscuits. Oh no, Lord, you must have it wrong. I'll just have the cheap ones. The ones that slightly start. Actually, or I won't pay people what they're worth. See, that a lot of Christians actually, I'll be a bit brutal with my money and won't bless people. That can become just as much an idol as what this man had. So let's not get self-righteous while we're not like him. Thank you, Lord, I wasn't born to be like this man. And believe me, I can understand that. But let's just move on. His problem is his possessions, his riches. He had great wealth. Sadly, you see,
He thought he was rich spiritually. I've done all these things all since a child. But his riches were really only the world's riches. He was worldly rich, spiritually poor. Revelation 3 says it a bit like this, verse 17. You say, I am rich, but you do not realize that you are poor, blind, and naked. That's not written to the world, that's a scripture written to the church at Laodicea. I wish you were either hot or cold. And you see, sometimes we can still have them. We're a big church, we're a successful church. That can become an idol in itself. See, this young man is in a trust and his security. That is hidden by his religious form and his appearing to be this righteous man. His security was not in God. His heart's affection was not set on following Jesus 100%. Because I've got my old friend Mrs. Keeble, an outer and outer, 100%. Alright, she that was her whole mantra. But not 100% of they are the out and out of God, out and out of Jesus. But his heart's affection was drawn in two directions. He wanted to serve two masters. And Jesus says in a few verses before this, you'll love one and hate the other. Or you'll honour one and you'll disrespect and despise the other. We cannot have our hearts torn in two directions. Yes, what the world wants to try and do, yeah, if you don't follow God, that's fine, but keep it under wraps, keep it moderate. See, the Lord is still looking for us to be out and outers. He looks for our heart's affection. He looks that we look to him to be our saviour. You see, this young man, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Whilst he was serving his idol, he would not be able to serve Jesus and his kingdom fully. So he had a choice. And that is always the choice that the Lord makes. He never ever forces himself on us. He might convict us, but it's for us to decide. He might show us. And this rich young man had a choice. Because where your heart is, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And his treasure was his riches. It wasn't going to be Jesus. And we need to constantly guard that we don't allow other things to creep up on the inside track and take the number one position. Don't we? Whatever it might be. And I've talked to me when I talk to you, so, you know, and do I always get this right? I wish I did. Because I don't. Particularly when money is concerned, it's so easy to get so drawn into it for one reason or another. So today, brothers and sisters, in a moment we're going to share bread and wine again. Speak to us of Jesus' total commitment to you, his total giving to you and to me, as his body was broken on the cross, and his blood was shed. He didn't partially do it, he went to the cross freely, willingly, and gave 100% of himself for you and I. And that is constantly the model and the challenge that the Spirit of God puts us over. Bit by bit chips away at this old self-life or this I'm alright life to bring it to a point where we're more and more like Jesus. There's a song, an old song, All Rules of Jesus. You know that one? And there's another, more About Jesus. There's those sorts of songs that I want to... All Rules of Jesus. It's an old hymn, I think, actually. We declared and shouted, I want more of you, I want to give more of you, I want to follow you fully. we come back to church and say, Lord, help me do this. I can't do it. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we're more than conquerors. With the Holy Spirit's help, we are able to be victorious. With the Holy Spirit's help, we can be the very people that we're not naturally. Because it's a supernatural gift. And as I recognise my weakness and say, Lord, I can't help. With your help, I can. We can do things through Christ. So might that be our shout? Let's learn that from this guy. Sadly, Jesus had to let this man who looked at him like God on a journey into more lostness. We don't know what happened to him. But he got picked up in that first wave of people that came to faith in Jerusalem. I don't know. It doesn't say. But all we know is at that time he made the wrong choice. Well, you know today he made the right choice. And every day. And say, Lord, keep enlightening me. Keep showing me the way. Because I want you.